Book of Joshua, chapter 2. I think in chapter 1, do you recall, or maybe if you missed it, in chapter 1, the Lord told Joshua many times, be strong and courageous. I am with you wherever you go. And we learned that God said that to Joshua a couple of times. He has said it to us as well. Be strong and of good courage. Be courageous because I am with you wherever you go. And the Lord said, I'll never leave you, never forsake you. So we can see that Joshua and the things he was called to do is he's going to now lead God's people into the promised land. Moses couldn't do it. And remember, Moses represents the law, and the law is never going to take you into the promise. And so Moses wasn't able to do it. Joshua took the job. God called him. So they're getting ready to go. Now look at chapter 2. And Joshua, the son of Nun, that doesn't mean he didn't have any parents. That means his dad's name was Nun, N-U-N, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying this, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and they came into a harlot's house named Rahab, and they lodged there. Now, maybe your first thought, I don't know, I remember one of the first few times I read this, I thought, wait a minute. Didn't they learn their lesson from the first whole spy incident? You know, Joshua was one of those spies back then. It was about 38 years ago, when they went into the land around there. They went into the land to spy it out, remember? And 12 of them went, and they had a bad, bad report. 10 out of the 12 came back and said, they're too strong for us. The land is kind of nice, but you know what? It's not worth it. We can't do this. There are too many of them. They're too strong. They're well armed. Their cities are walled, fortified, and there are also giants in there, and we look like grasshoppers to them. We can't do this. We better not enter the land. God had already commanded them to enter. The spies came back and 10 of them said, no, we're not doing it. Moses, we'd be crazy to try. It was Joshua and Caleb who said, we can do this. God told us to do it. We can do it. God's got the victory. We look like grasshoppers in their eyes, but they look like grasshoppers in God's eyes. So let's do it. Two of them. Well, majority ruled. And they didn't enter into the promised land, and the Lord was upset with them and said, for every day that the spies were in the land, 40 days, for every day the spies were in the land, you will wander in the wilderness for 1 year. So 40 years. Was it worth those 40 days? No. But that's just how we are. So one of the first things you think is, oh no, Josh, don't you remember? It didn't go so well last time. Now, is this a mistake? No. Clearly, the spies are sent for a completely different reason. You notice? The 12 spies that were sent so many years ago, the idea was, let's see what the land looks like, and you decide if you think we can actually take it or not. That was disobedience to God's word. That's not what these spies are doing. These two spies are sent in not to see if we can take it, but to spy it out, all right, and come back and let us know what the best way to approach this is. We're going to go, but let's find the best way to do this. So he sent a couple of spies over, knowing that Jericho would be their first obstacle. That is a major walled city, Jericho. They are about 8 miles away in a place called Shittim, over just east of Jericho, about 8 miles. So the two spies are to go in there and tell us what you see so we can spy it out and figure out the best way to deal with it. How should we attack it? How should it work? Right away, the children of Israel enter into the promised land. They are going to encounter a walled city called Jericho. So here's the deal. Go into the city. Just go to the city. Check it out. See what it's like. Gather intelligence that will help us formulate our strategy. We'll wait for you. go on in there, get back to us as quickly as you can, and let us know how to deal with this. And the Bible says that these two spies entered the city of Jericho, and they went to a house of ill repute. You think, what is with these Israelites? What'd they do that for? No, it's logical. It makes good sense. What are you talking about, Bob? Rahab's place. You see, that's a common place where visitors to the city would probably go. She'd run a little prostitute house. And so you'd see commonly visitors in and out of there. So if you don't want to stand out like a sore thumb, especially you might be dressed a little bit like one of the Hebrew children. So they think, well, we'll just go to this place over here. It's a house of prostitution. They're going to expect visitors to the city to be in this area. So maybe we won't stand out. So they head over to a place, and it just so happens to be Rahab's house. Rahab's a prostitute. She's not just a prostitute. She runs the place. She owns it. And the Bible tells us that the spies stayed at her house. And it was told to the king, verse 2 says, it was told to the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in here tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. They're spies. And they came to search out the country. They came into town. The king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that have come to you, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the land or all the country. You notice how word gets back to the king instantly. Now, what's that all about? Well, simple. Here's the word. There are a couple of guys showed up in the town. We look at them. We think they're children of Israel. We think they're spies. They've come to spy out the land. We better check them out. Where are they? Rahab's place. They came to town to spy us out. So you see, the king says, send them to us, Rahab. Those people, you may not realize this, but these are spies, and they're here to check out the land. You need to send them to me. Notice that the whole city is on alert. I mean, how did you know about these guys? Well, the king's got his eyes all over the city now. They're on alert. They're on high alert. Why? They've heard about the approaching armies of the children of Israel. They've heard all these stories. Rahab's going to tell us that in a moment. They've heard all that's been going on for the last 40 years. And finally, they knew this was probably going to happen. They're coming right toward Jericho. So they're on alert. They know that the Israelites they probably know they're about 8 miles away. And word is that they're getting ready to attack Jericho. So the king has his agents out there keeping their eye out for the city. Sure enough, word gets back. Two of them entered the city. They're staying at the prostitute's house at Rahab's. So the king says to Rahab, this, surrender those spies. Turn them over to us. They're spies, and they're here to cause trouble. Verse 4 says, and the woman took the two men and hid them. Now, isn't that interesting? She took the two men and she hid them and said thus. Here's her answer to the king. There came men unto me, but I did not know whence they were. Let me read the King James. There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. In other words, yeah, there were a couple of strangers and they did come in today, but I didn't know who they were or what they were all about or where they came from. And it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, right when it was near sundown, when the gates are supposed to be closed. She says, when it was dark, the men went out. They left. They left already. Whither the men went, I don't know. I don't know where they went. Pursue after them quickly, for you shall overtake them. Here's what this lady does. Now, this is very interesting. Why do I mean? Well, she doesn't know these people from anybody. She's never met a Hebrew. She doesn't know them. She's heard about them, but she's never met. There's a real one. She's never met. She doesn't know who they are. She doesn't owe them any favors. It's not like their families have been close friends or anything. They've just been spent the last 40 years out in the wilderness. She's got nothing to do with them. Yet, interestingly enough, she hides these men. And this is what she says to the king. King, there were two men. You're right. They were here earlier today. I had no idea who they were. And by the way, they're already gone. They left right as the gates were about to close. They took off. And to tell you the truth, I don't know which way they went or where they were going. I didn't think of asking them. And they're gone. But you know what? It hadn't been that long. I'm sure if you go after them, you'll catch them. You're bound to catch them. They can't be too far. But look at verse 6. But she had taken them or brought them up to the roof of the house, hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. Well, she's telling the king they took off. And if you send your soldiers after them, you'll probably catch them. I don't know which way they went, but I know that it hasn't been that long. So you'll probably catch them and get on out there. Go after them. In the meantime, she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them on her roof. She hid them under the stalks of flax. They would cut the flax down and they would soak it in water normally for about 4 days, I think was how they did it, because they're going to take that flax. They're going to make clothing out of it. They'll make cloth out of it. So they would take the flax and soak it in water for hours. And then once it kind of all the strands had separated, they would take it and place it in the sun to dry. Well, inside the walled city, it would be up on the roof. And so she placed them up there. Now they're drying up on the roof. So she hides these men under the stalks of flax that had put out there to dry out. So she's hiding them. And she tells the king, they're not here, they're gone. I don't know what they're all about. I just know they're gone. And it hasn't been that long. So you probably catch them if you take up after them. Verse 7 says, and the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued them after them were gone, they shut the gate. So it looks like here the soldiers took Rahab's word. Well, here's what happened. The king sent messengers to the house, probably soldiers, looks like. Give us those guys. They came into your house. Give us those guys. She goes, yeah, you're right. They were here, but they're gone now. They're gone now. And I don't know what they're all about or which way they went, but they're gone. And so, guys, you could take off after them. You'll probably catch them. So the soldiers believe her. And they take off quickly in search of the spies. Now you got a posse out there looking for these men. These men are hidden under the stalks of flax up on the roof. And before they were laid down, verse 8, as nightfall now, she came up to them on the roof. And verse 9 says, and she said to the men, now listen closely to this woman, this prostitute. I know that the Lord has given you the land and that your terror is fallen upon us and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Do you hear that? She doesn't know God. She doesn't know God at all. But she sure knows about him, doesn't she? And she knows enough about him to believe. We call it faith. Not only does she know enough about him to believe, but also do you notice that she has a faith that's real? And a faith that's real causes action. She acts in faith toward these men she's never met. That's what faith is. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. She talks to these two men. She says, the word is out, not just all over Jericho. The word is out all over this land, the land of the Canaanites. This land of the Hittites and the Hivites and the Canaanites. This land that you're coming to take. The word is out that it's been given to you by God, the God of heaven. He's given you this land. And she says, I know that the Lord has given this to you. I know this is yours. I know I'm living on your property. I don't know about you, but that's faith, if you ask me. Faith in a God she's only heard about. She's never seen the work of the Lord, but she has heard about him. And that's what she goes on to say. The word is out all over our town, all over this country, that the Israelites are coming into this land. Everybody, she says, everybody, and you can underline it, everybody's afraid. Everybody. She said, I know the Lord's given you the land. I like that, because here is a woman that you might have a tendency to look down upon. You see, she isn't highly respected in town. I mean, you're not shocked, I know, but Rahab has no reputation that is good. None. There's nothing redeeming much about her as far as the people in Jericho are concerned. She runs a prostitute house. I mean, you know, that's what she does. That wasn't a respected thing to do. And she said, everybody's afraid. But I like this girl's heart. The battle hasn't even started. And she says, as far as all of us are concerned, the battle's over. I know it's yours. I know the Lord has given you our land, our city. She doesn't stop there. Everyone's afraid because we know it's going to happen. That's all everybody's been talking about for the last few weeks. The Israelites are getting closer. We heard some travelers coming by and they saw that group of the children of Israel and they're coming closer. We know they're headed toward our land and we know their God has given it to them. They're coming. And you know what? Even though we don't know God, she says, we've all heard how the Lord your God dried up the Red Sea. You know, that was 40 years ago. 40 years ago. And she says, we've all heard. And you know what? They believe it. We heard how you walked across on dry land, that the Lord your God dried up the Red Sea, how you crossed over on dry land. Now, that was 40 years ago, but she said, I believe it. I believe it's true. And now the whole world has heard about it. And we've also heard how your God gave you the victory over those kings, the kings of the Amorites, the two kings, over on the other side of the Jordan. Those we know were powerful kings, and your God gave them into your hands. Rahab is simply saying, we know, especially I know, there is no stopping your God. He has given you this land that's yours. The battle is won. How do you think that made the spies feel? We're here to determine how difficult is this going to be? What kind of strategy should we use to take this city? Is there a better place to hit first? You know, we kind of wander around the city, checking it out, kind of hang out around the prostitute's house where visitors might hang out. And you're just looking, you're spying it out, and you're going, man, okay, looks like there's a lot of guards on the wall. Okay, I see how they've got the placement here. Oh, that's interesting. And she hides them, protects them. She puts her own life in jeopardy for theirs. And she says, I know the Lord has given you this. And the spies got to be going, all right, wait till we tell Commander Joshua this. Oh, I mean, this is going to bless everybody. When we tell our armies, these people are scared. Their hearts, she says, the hearts of the people have melted. There is no strength in us. We're scared. We know you're coming and we know there's no stopping you. We heard what your God did. We know what your God can do, although we don't know him. And she's saying, I believe it. I believe these things. I believe that your God is the God. Notice what she says in verse 11. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. I believe your God is the true God. I believe it. Faith. Now, everyone, I know what you think sometimes. Well, God's not going to like her. She's a prostitute. She's got simple faith here. She's saved by grace through faith. She's saved. She went on being a prostitute for a little while longer. Not much longer, but a little bit. And you think, how could she do that? How could people do that? Don't you remember how you were when you got saved? Friend of ours used to. She got saved. She was so on fire for the Lord, she'd get high on drugs and go out into the woods and write praise music. It took her a while for God to grow her a little bit so that she could completely understand that that's not the way to do it. You need to stay out of that stuff. And you see, continue on. Maybe some of you did the same thing. You're walking with the Lord, but at the same time, you're still robbing 7-Elevens and you haven't quite caught on yet until you go to prison. You know, that's not the way to do these kind of things. Well, here we've got Rahab, just a woman who has simple faith, and she, her faith is real because faith has action to it. If you really believe something, you act on it. For instance, if someone, and you've heard me say that, someone would run in the room now and say, there's a bomb in here. Well, those that have faith that that's a true statement, what would they do? Get out. Others go, he does that every week. Well, that's the weirdest man. In other words, I don't believe it and I'm not going to get out. Notice real faith causes an action of some kind. And this, her faith is real and it causes an action in her. It causes her to say, I believe, I know your God is the God of heaven and of earth. Your God is the God. So look at verse 12. Now, therefore, okay, we knew this was coming. She didn't just make the speech because she loves to make speeches. She's not up on the roof hiding them just because she thinks these are the nicest guys. I just want to hide them. No, this is faith in action. Watch this. Therefore, I pray you, I'm asking you sincerely as I know how, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you will also show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token. That you will save alive my father and my mother and my brothers and my sisters and all that they have and deliver our lives from death. I so believe that your God is this powerful, that he is the true God. I believe that this is your land. And so I'm acting on it in faith. That's why I've hidden you. I put my own life in jeopardy for you because I believe it's true. And so now I'm asking you. I'm asking you for kindness as I have shown you kindness, she says. She willingly put her own life in jeopardy. You can believe if the king finds out what she's done, she's dead. First of all, she's a prostitute and not highly regarded. So they would have no problem getting rid of her anyway. Plus, that makes her a traitor or a spy herself. She's dead if the word gets out. She put her own life in jeopardy to save the lives of two men she's never met. Two spies. Children of Israel. And she asks only this. I ask you for kindness for me and my family. I like it. By simple faith, Rahab believed. She acted upon what she believed by placing her own life on the line to save two people. She saved their lives. Now, she's asking that they save hers. Not just hers, but the lives of her mom and her dad and her brothers and sisters and all their stuff, the things they have. Verse 14 says, the men answered her, our life for yours. If you utter not this our business, and it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, we will deal kindly and truly with you. Here's what the spies answer. Done. We appreciate what you've done. You saved our lives, and we appreciate what you've done. So, done. It's a covenant. We make an agreement. Our God will give us the land. Do you hear their language? When our God gives us this land. You see their faith? We're coming. You're right. He is the God of all. And when he gives us this land, we will keep our agreement with you. We'll do it. They also say, but please, don't report our mission. Don't report our mission, and we will protect you and your family. Literally, they're saying, our life for yours. In other words, we'll protect. If you don't report our mission, if you let us get out of here and don't say anything, then we will keep our promise. We would even forfeit our own lives for you. In other words, we'll make sure that none of the armies of Israel touch your family or you. With our own lives, we'll make sure of it. So verse 15. Then, verse 15 says, she let them down by a cord through the window. For her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. In other words, she lived on the wall, on the outside wall. Her window faced the world, and she could let them out the window. And she gave to them, or said to them, I'm sorry, get you to the mountain. There's mountains right over here. You can see them. Get to the mountains, lest the pursuers meet you. In other words, if you head back, straight back now, they're out there looking for you. They'll turn around, and you're going to run into them. You don't want that. Trust me. So get to the mountains, lest the pursuers meet you. Hide yourselves there 3 days, till the pursuers be returned, and afterward you may go your way. And the men said to her, we will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home to your house, to you. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if you utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear. You see, here's the deal. Since her house is right there on the main wall, she took a scarlet cord, something like a rope, and she let them down. She's going to let them down from her window with the ropes. And she tells them, you know what, guys, I know how they operate. They're going to follow a path where they think you might go, and then they're going to retrace their steps back to come to the city. If you try to head on now, you're going to just plain run into the posse. You're not going to appreciate that. So here's what you need to do. Go to the mountains, escape over to the mountains here. They're not far, and stay 3 days. Just hide yourself for 3 days. They'll be back by then. They'll say they couldn't find you. And when they're back into the walled city, take off. Your way's clear. They won't be in your way. So that's the way to handle this. And they said, all right, you're letting us down with this scarlet cord, with this rope. So here's what you need to do. Put this scarlet cord in your window. Hang it in your window. And we'll make sure that our armies know not to kill those that are inside the house where the scarlet cord is hanging. That'll be the sign to all of us. So hang it there. And then they tell her, now look, We can't be responsible for certain things. So if anyone in your family wanders out in the street while the battle's going on and gets themselves killed, we're innocent. That's up to you. You need to tell them, stay inside behind this scarlet cord. Stay inside. If they go out and they're killed, then we're not guilty. We haven't broken any of our agreement. Her home would be clearly marked so that none of the Israelites would attack there. None of them will break the promise that these spies have made to Rahab. And then they say this again, as she's letting them out on the scarlet cord. They said, now please keep in mind, because see, they don't know this person. They said, now remember, if you talk, the agreement's off. We have no agreement. Verse 21 says, she said, Rahab says, according to your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. And she, right then and there, tied the scarlet line in the window. Now, they're going to be gone 3 days. They're going to be hiding in the mountains 3 days. But I like this girl's attitude. You know, I mean, let my family know I'm going to tie this up right now. I mean, I want to make sure, just in case anything happens quicker than I thought it would, that we've got the sign in the window, don't attack, this is Rahab's place. So she agreed to it, sent them on their way, put the scarlet cord in the window right away. And verse 22 says, they went, came to the mountain, and stayed there 3 days, till the pursuers were returned, and the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but could not find them. So they did as Rahab suggested. They went to the mountains, they hid there for 3 days. Then what's the posse? Was tired of looking. They did come back to the city. They came back to Jericho. That's when these men could take off. And that's what the Bible says. Verse 23 says, So the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and told him all things that befell them. And they said to Joshua, truly, the Lord had delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the land or of the country do faint because of us. How do they know? Rahab told them. She said, guys, people are scared to death. Their hearts have melted. There's no strength left in any of us. We know that God's doing this. The two spies head back after 3 days and they report to the commander, Joshua. They told him everything that happened. They told him how Rahab had hidden them, her faith that she truly believed in God, and how she saved their lives, and how they made the agreement with Rahab about the scarlet cord. And so now that'll be passed out through all the armies. When you do finally make the attack, there's a scarlet cord. You'll see it, as a matter of fact. It's a window that's on the outside wall. You'll see that scarlet cord. Everyone in that home has been granted immunity. We're going to keep them safe. They're not going to be put to death. And then they said this to Joshua. And this has got to be encouraging to Joshua. Look at chapter 1. God said many times over, Joshua, be of good courage. Be strong and courageous. And go. And every place that the sole of your foot touches is yours. Because I am with you. I've given it to you. He said he's given it to them all the way over to the great river Euphrates. All the way over to the great sea, the Mediterranean. And remember, we talked about how they have never yet possessed everything that they've been given. And remember, well, we talked about we as believers, many times we're in the same boat. We never really possess the things that are ours, the promises are ours, the things that God has done for us. There are many times when, because of a lack of faith, we don't possess the things that are ours. Well, they said, Joshua, commander, God for sure has given us the land, just as he promised. There's no doubt about it. The people in the land have heard of the mighty works of the Lord God. And the people are shaking in their boots. They're afraid. Surely, God has given us this land. And you know what the message of that is from the spies? Let's go get it. Let's go take this land. God's given it. It's ours. That's a different kind of message than the 10 spies who came out years and years and years ago, isn't it? Now there's real faith, there's real trust in the Lord God of heaven. God said it, and he meant it. They went in, and they heard it with their own ears. The people are afraid. This land is ours, Joshua. Let's go get it. You know? It's an amazing story. It's a short chapter. It's an amazing story. That's amazing to me. That they could enter it spying out the land. Go into a place they've never been ever in their whole lives. And a lady saves their lives. Because she knows that their God is the one true God. And he's the one that should be served. He's the powerful God of heaven. And he should be served. What faith is that? Do you know in Hebrews chapter 11, called the faith chapter, do you know that Rahab is actually listed? She's not listed because of the job she did. She was a prostitute, so she's listed there. No, she's not listed because of her education level or because of the money that she earned. Do you know why she's listed in the faith chapter? Because she was a woman of faith. You would not have expected a prostitute to be in that list, would you? You got Samson. You didn't expect him. He killed himself. You got Rahab. Hebrews 11:31 says, by faith, the harlot, and they call her the harlot, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she received the spies with peace. By faith, Rahab was left alive. She lived. She's listed in the Hall of Faith. By true faith, she saved her own life, the lives of her family, the lives of the spies. Notice, it wasn't just talk, but she acted on what she believed. It's a lesson for me and you. That's why she's listed in Hebrews 11. Come on. That's what it's all about. Faith. You know, we're told in the book of Hebrews, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because first of all, you got to believe that he exists. And next, you got to believe he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Simple faith. And Jesus will say to his disciples quite often, where's your faith? Why are you afraid? Where is your faith? Lord, we thought we were going to sink. Oh, ye of little faith. Remember when he was asleep in the boat and they thought they were going down. Now, these are experienced fishermen. Quite a few of them, four of them, five of them, experienced on these waters. And they actually think they're sinking. And they wake Jesus up. And before he rebukes the wind and the wave, he rebukes them. Where's your faith? What's the matter with you? And then he says, peace be still. And the lake calms down. Faith. Faith is simple. Rahab showed us how to do it. True faith will cause you to act, will cause you to move, will cause you to live like you believe. True faith produces, in other words, works or action. Faith that is real produces action. You and I could say, and it's a silly example, but it works. You and I can walk in and say, they look like they're pretty comfortable chairs. They really do. Never been to this church before. Nice chairs. And someone will say, do you really believe that chair will hold you? You say, oh, yeah, I believe it. I believe that chair will hold me. But, you know, that's not faith. You know what faith is? Putting all your weight on it. In other words, if you truly believe it'll hold you, put all your weight on it. That's faith. And I don't mean to be rude, but let's just say it that way. Rahab put all her weight on the fact that God was moving and almighty and all powerful and the God of heaven and earth. And she put all her weight on that, didn't she? She risked her own life to put all her weight on the fact that she believed God could hold her up. Save me and my family. And that's what Hebrews says about her faith. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with them that believed not when she received the spies. By faith. James chapter 2, verse 18. And you remember James. He's got a great argument. He says, yea, a man may say, you have faith, and I have works. James says, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. And some people say, well, from that statement right there, he teaches different than Paul. Paul says, it is not works at all. It's faith and faith alone. James is saying the same thing. All he's saying is real faith causes action, and I can show you my faith is real by the things that I do, by how I live. Rahab showed that her faith was real by the things that she did, by hiding them and helping them and saving their lives and endangering her own. She saved her own life by faith in God. And you know something? She saved her family. Her mom, her dad, her brothers. They didn't ask her to do that. It was her faith. Rahab's family. What happened to Rahab? You ever wonder what happened to Rahab? You know, you don't hear much about Rahab. After the walls come tumbling down, you ever just wonder, oh, Rahab, did she keep on in the business? What did she do? The Bible says she went on and got married. She married into the Jewish family is what she did. She was kind of a convert. She married into the Jewish family. And so you will see her name come up again. In Matthew chapter 1, in the genealogy of Jesus Christ the Messiah. Now you got to let that sink in. For those of you who thought that she was some sort of low-life girl, she's listed in the genealogy of Jesus Christ himself. There in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 1. And again, just reading through that genealogy, knowing the faith of Rahab. Just think. One of those little Jewish children down the road was calling her Granny Ray. Granny Rahab. All the way through, down through the lineage to Joseph. Look at the people that God will use. Just look at the people in Scripture that God uses. Aren't you amazed that if you look at them, they turn out to be just ordinary people. People that you might not respect. People you might not have voted for had they been running for some kind of office. People that you would have never thought would be in positions of being in the lineage of the Messiah and starting out as a prostitute who is a Canaanite or at least a Jerichoite. Look at the things that the Lord will accomplish by those who have simple faith. By those who will actually walk in faith. Look at the things He'll do. And maybe someone's told you in your life, God can't use you. You're not smart enough. You're a loser when it comes to everything in life. And maybe you bought into that. You need to go back again and read Joshua chapter 2. And see, by faith, Rahab saved her own life and the lives of her family. And speaking of her family, down the road, Messiah will come. God will honor your faith if you will place your faith in the living God through Jesus Christ. Simple faith. We have to stop there because the next chapter is just a little too long to do, so we'll stop there. But the next time someone tells you they don't like you, you're not good enough, maybe your sins are so big, much bigger than theirs, that they're not sure you're going to ever amount to anything, you just remember God's word. Faith that's real causes action. God will work. He will use you. He will do amazing things through a heart that walks with Him and trusts Him by faith. Let's bow our heads together. Lord,